Yum Earth, if you're out there, sponsor us for eating these. Trash, I got your face.
You guys want to see what my new snack addiction
is? This is what we have on Spotify, is TJ and Trash talking about snacks.
True.
True.
Trash, that's what I'm saying, bro. That's what I have. I ordered them.
All right. Hold on. Before we start, this is my new snack addiction. So in the back corner, I have this box of these things called popcorners.
Yeah.
They're so good. Yeah. There's this flavor called spicy queso. I ordered a box of just like 20. I ordered it in bulk of just that flavor, and they came in this morning, and I'm just going to destroy that whole box today.
It's good every time. Every time.
So good. Spicy queso, popcorners, whatever. Amazing.
Anyways, sorry. Welcome to the stand-up. Today we have two very special topics, and as always, we have Tej DV, we have Casey Muratori, and we have Trash Dev. All of them legendary developers from the legendary Twitter community, here to talk about the hottest and greatest parts that are happening right now in tech today.
I like the
legendary intro, bro.
Moniker inflation is good. Like, pretty soon we're going to be like, created the entire internet by themselves.
Yep.
Casey, can we say, though, Unix. Undisputably, this is the most listened to stand-up in the entire world.
Good point.
Prove us wrong. This is the greatest, most listened to stand-up of all time.
It's the only stand-up people look forward to listening to every week.
There you go.
Yep.
Okay, what is our first topic?
Great question, Casey.
All right.
I just realized I actually know what the first topic is, so I can go ahead and introduce it.
Okay, let's do it.
The first topic for today is actually that this is the 6 month anniversary. Nope, it's not that prime.
Oh no!
Sorry.
Oh no!
This is the 6 month anniversary of Tej being 100% wrong about the Apple Sling for the phone. I marked it on my calendar.
He said,
in 6 months, you're going to see this. And I said, nope, in 6 months, nobody in the United States will be wearing this thing. Literally, no one. And it is, in fact, no one.
That one's wrong, though, Casey, because I got tagged. Someone saw it in the wild and tagged me. Like a Guitar Center.
AI.
Like
rendezvous. Complete AI fabrication. Clearly.
No, let me find it. Right,
so
clearly.
It was a good one. I saw it. For those that don't know, this is what he's talking about. It's called the Apple. Holy cow, this is just so weird. It's called the Apple Sling. And this thing was marketed for like $60 or $70.
Yeah,
bucks.
It looks so good.
And the idea was that you'd wear your cell phone on the side. Now, TJ or Casey, Trash, and I laughed about it, said there ain't no way anybody's ever going to use that. TJ, on the other hand, said SF is going to be filled to the brim with them.
Yes, he did.
I don't think that's the direct quote.
It kind of was.
Every man, woman, and child will have one of these slings on.
I didn't even see one in SF.
Okay, I'm pissing it in chat right now, Prime.
Twitch chat, I assume?
Yep. Twitch chat right now.
So that was it. That was the entirety of the topic. We don't need to discuss it further. I just wanted it recognized.
Well, look at this.
No one wants this.
That is one in the wild.
That is the one that they sold. They sold one of them. They probably gave it away. They probably gave it away.
That was probably a gift. Body to use his phone once, because when you do it on your body, it's probably a little inconvenient.
Yeah.
Here we see the elusive programmer, a simple creature that spends most of its time working alone, often in darkness. But what's this? Someone being wrong on the internet. Our coder springs into action, reaching top speeds of 120 words per minute before, flash, a light mode website. The natural enemy of these code lovers stuns our friend. The chase is called off. We'll have to get them next time. When not on their computers, they can spend hours drawing crude symbols on something they call whiteboards. Researchers have discovered thousands of dialects, often with more than a dozen used in a single office. However, no linguist has yet deciphered what their purpose is. Vain creatures, their bodies have evolved over a millennia to be able to sit in unusual postures while looking at themselves online. This will often last for many hours, using the excuse they're waiting for code review, depressed to why they're so inactive. And finally, after a long day of accomplishing very little, our keyboard warrior's ready for bed. A quick read and it's lights out. Good night, little coder.
So how do I sleep so well at night? Well, I have Sentry to help me crush those bugs. And I'm not talking about like little teeny tiny South Dakota bugs that die in the winter. I'm talking about big, mean jungle bugs. And I'm not scared of any of them, by the way. But I can squash those bugs with Seer by Sentry.
I'll admit I was wrong. I guess you guys more correctly estimated the sanity of Apple developers. I underestimate or Apple buyers. I thought for sure that because it was stupid, they were going to buy it. And
we're not that stupid, okay?
But they're not fair that enough. Stupid. Maybe, can we say, maybe in a different economy, maybe in a different, I think it was just that.
No, we can't, because Apple's whole thing is they try to sell products to people based on the cachet. Oh, okay. Like they have a brand image.
That's
and
true.
This is totally counter to it in the US anyway. Maybe in other, you know, maybe there's other cultures where this like was kind of more of a thing that people did and they're just, you know, it's for those regions or something and that's fine. But in the US, I was like, this doesn't fly because Apple has a brand image and this is so far away from that image. It's exactly like the Vision Pro. I don't even know why the company shipped it. It baffles my it blows my mind. It's completely baffling, and it's something that I can't imagine happening if the ghost of Steve Jobs were still haunting the headquarters, which apparently it's not.
He is definitely
would have bought
not.
At $30. $30.
He moved on. He's somewhere else. But so anyway, that's it. Now the actual first topic of the stand-up.
So the actual first. Let me do a quick intro here. The actual first topic.
Round three.
Is going to have to be TJ, Trash, and Casey guesses, what does LinkedIn have to say? Now, I'm going to say a phrase. Oh. I had to fire Teej. Now, before I show it to you, what is the LinkedIn translation of I had to fire Teej?
What does this mean, LinkedIn translation?
Yes,
it's an automatic
LinkedIn translator that takes my normal phrase.
It's a LinkedIn-ifier.
And transforms it into LinkedIn.
I've got
into like a five-paragraph post?
Yeah, it's going to be really long. Like, this is one of the hardest decisions that we've had to make. But the company is strong, and this only puts us in a stronger position. Teej was a very valuable employee and did a lot of great things, and we're really looking forward to what he does next.
That's great. Trash?
I was thinking more of like something happens in real life. So it's like I went to the bagel store, but the bagel person ended up burning my bagel, which somehow reminded me of Teej burning down the code at work. Which made me realize and reflect upon his recent performance. And now I had to hashtag lay him off. something.
That's great.
I was going more with Teej has been my best friend since we founded this company. We've been through hard times. We've been through good times. We've worked together. He came to my wedding. I went to his. He's the godfather of my child. Unfortunately for him, it's time to grind even harder. Hashtag grind, hashtag hard. And so to do that in the age of AI, I have an agent that says, you are Teej, and you are good enough to do exactly what he did for me. So I laid off my technical co-founder, and we're shipping 10,000 lines of code a day. Buy my course below to also ship like this.
Wow.
All right. To tell you the truth, it was, in fact, Casey who did the good job. Today, I'm sharing one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make as a leader. I had to part ways with my co-founder, Teej. Growth isn't always a straight line, and sometimes the hardest part of the journey is realizing when paths need to diverge to protect the long-term vision of the company. It's about radical candor, making tough calls, and staying true to the mission. I'm incredibly grateful for the lessons during this chapter. Onward and upward. Hashtag leadership, hashtag founder life, hashtag growth mindset. TJ, that's a TJ point. And hashtag.
I did the hashtag.
See, I don't read LinkedIn, so I didn't know they were hashtag obsessed. I totally missed that.
Hashtags.
They are the biggest fans
ever of
hashtags.
You
gotta
use them hashtaggies.
Yes. This is why I can't be on that website, because I vomit in my mouth a little bit. All right,
well, this was inspired due to this post, which was unironically put on here. Which is, Michael and I are separating romantically. We're not breaking up as co-founders, and we're not stepping away, .. I never got the actual full thing.
No! No!
No, that's not real!
That is real!
Quick question. Did that guy happen to make an app about tracking when your wife leaves the dishes in the sink?
Yes!
Oh my gosh.
I love the idea of like, instead of saying I broke up or we're getting divorced, it's like, we're announcing a change in our chief bedroom officer.
The CBO?
We are currently going into a phase where we're going to search for our new chief bedroom officer. We have a lot of promising candidates. We want to make sure we find the right match.
I plan on interviewing
makes it sound
a lot
more professional
in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the new Tinder pickup line, looking for a CBO.
Yeah, looking for a CBO.
All right.
Else like, I like that.
I'm serving as interim CBO right now. But it's not long term.
Man, that interview process is crazy.
I am avoiding saying anything. I forgot. Smart.
Next topic. Quick.
All right. So we're going to actually get to the real first topic of the stand-up. I saw somebody on the internet post this right here. It's the Complexity Visualizer. Now, this was posted by STEM Explorer, presumably a Twitter account about exploring STEM. And they
like the thing in the flowers?
Yes.
I mean, kind of.
TJ reached deep for that pun because it was okay. And so they gave us a complexity visualizer, big O notation race, in which they have O of 1, O of N, O, N log N, N squared, and then, of course, 2 to the N, kind of like your classic situation. Now, this reminded me immediately of when Casey had an absolute meltdown on the internet over the ball diagram. We had several videos. This is actually worse.
I didn't know it could get worse than the balls.
Well, it's kind of, there's two different things. So the meltdown over the ball video, I mean, obviously, like, I always criticize ball videos.
True. Because Casey, classic known ball criticizer.
Yeah, when developers feel the need to show their balls off to the entire world like that, and I'm just sitting there going like,
"That's a job for the CBO, am I right, boys?"
Yeah, exactly. Chief Ball Officer. Yeah. Well, Internet Chief Ball Officer Ben Dicken, who at this point is now infamous for these ball diagrams and loves it, by the way. Like he does. As far as I can tell, he is leaning into the balls. Because you know, he posts them to get engagement. Like that's he's trying to
get a rise,
get
out of
people
it.
To interact with his social media. And so like people saying these are awful is just as good as people saying they're bad. I assume, I don't really know, but anyway, the problem with those ball diagrams,
Casey, you know, are you fundamentally opposed to men leading into ball diagrams?
No, what I'm saying is that he was leaning into it. I'm not making a value judgment. If a man wants to lean into their balls or anyone's balls on social media, that's entirely up to them, in my opinion. I don't think that we should be telling them what to do or not to do. That's my opinion. That's just my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. So anyway, my problem with the balls was that they're a bad way to visualize data, but that happens a lot. So that there's a lot of people who post their balls on the internet, and it's just like, okay, this may be the thing that they were posting was actually fine. They happen to want to show you their balls instead of just putting the data in a better format. And I'm just like, could you not do that? Because I understand it's eye-catching and that's why you're doing it, but it's a very bad way to visualize data. And like, there's even like, you can literally go find studies people have done where they've looked at how people like react to different ways of presenting data, and motion is like one of the worst things to use to try and get people to conceptualize the differences between things. Like, humans are horrible at comparing like the rate of movement of things as compared to just the sizes of them, right? So
that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's just a bad idea for a chart. It's only good when you're trying to bait social media engagement, which, to be fair, like I said, I think Ben Dicken knows. So he's kind of off the hook in a sense for that part of it. So really, because that's what he was trying to do, and that's fine. The reason I was so grumpy about those is because the data was wrong. Like the thing that they were.
That was also true.
Ben Dicken's data is usually also wrong, right? So he makes a repository. He invites people to contribute to the repository. The contributions are terrible, generally speaking. They're just all over the map. And then he graphs them as if they compare like language performance, but they don't at all, right? And so it's just not like, it's bad, it's misleading, and that's why I get upset about that. The balls are kind of, you know, insult to injury, if you will. Like, oh, now I got to look at balls while I see this bad data. It's like, you know, it just makes things worse. So I wanted to clear that up first. This is something completely different. This is like they posted a graph that literally doesn't show the thing at all.
It is very, right? Very true. I've been struggling trying to figure out the meaning behind it for a long time.
Oh, Prime was so tilted when he was like, we're going to talk about this.
I saw the first one, and I was just like, I stopped looking. Like, constant time is just a wave like this. I'm like, what? It should just be like a line, right? Like, what? I don't understand at all.
I have no idea what it's even graphing. Like, I have literally no idea.
I don't.
I don't know how they. I don't know how they
it's
came up with
complexity
this.
Visualized. Casey it says right
yeah,
on
it
the graph.
It says right
so.
There, Casey. It's pretty obvious.
You read?
Well, I mean, you know, if I can't see because, of course, you know, this is Riverside, and so being able to see the thing, I can't
optional.
Read. I can't read any of that.
Yep.
But like, what's the top one? 001 is supposed
yeah,
to be right.
Constant
and
time.
What's okay? So so
01.
There's
it goes
yeah,
real.
And then what's
it goes,
the what's the next one?
Log n.
Log n. And the next one is n log n, maybe?
No,
or
it's
what
just
is it?
N.
This is linear.
Oh, okay. We skipped n log n. All right.
Then n log n. No, then n log n because it's slower,
oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
Theoretically, it's slower.
Okay.
Then n squared, and then 2 to the n. So each one is like progressively worse
by
an order of complexity.
Understood. Okay.
With the couple complexities skipped.
So the more squiggles, the worse.
Yeah, the more squiggles. So
it's supposed
the
to
squiggles
be how long it takes to move from one side to the other, but the squiggles are useless.
Yes, correct. The squiggles
so what,
actually
yeah,
have
like
like
a ball chart.
To it.
What I was trying to do is count them. I'm like, do the squiggles even go in a pattern that has to do with like what the N was? And it doesn't even look like that. Like,
well,
I couldn't,
it'd be very difficult because they erased the squiggly. So if you were supposed to deduce the squiggle density, it's being
yeah,
erased actively.
Actively, because like the top one, so if that's 01, then the constant would have to be like 3, right? Because there's 3 squiggles, so, and we know that n is 1, so, you know, the constant would have to be 3. If the next one is log n, right, we assume the constant is still 3, probably. I mean, I guess there's no reason to think that the constant would still be 3, I suppose, but I'm just trying to figure out, is there any way to make this line up? I suppose you could just say, well, the constant changes at each time, and that's where the squiggles. I don't know. I literally don't know. I can't figure
There's
it
no
out.
There's no way any thought went into.
So the thing that really just grinds my gears is that constant time, theoretically, it does not matter upon the input, right?
Correct.
It's just about whatever the coefficient is next to the constant time that really dictates
how long
it is.
That's the constant part in constant
yep.
time.
That's the constant part mm-hmm. in constant. And
Following.
So the fact that it takes about half the speed as log n really bothers me because constant is a fixed kind of like operating time, whereas log n depends on how much input there is.
Yeah.
And so you can't actually make any sort of relational guess between constant and log n. But in this one, they're saying it's about 60%.
Right, that kills me on the inside. Right.
Yeah. On average, constant you know, time is about, or
about,
log n time is about 60% as
percent.
Fast as constant time
yeah.
on average.
60% of the time every time.
Yeah, like on average.
It really hurts me so much. And then the other part that really gets me is that at the very end, when they're kind of finishing everything up, 2 to the n, exponential time and quadratic time. Exponential time is like 20% or 15% through, and quadratic time is like 95% way through.
Yep.
And so it's just like that is not true even in the slightest, right? It's like at n of 10... exponential time is 10 times larger. At n of 11, exponential time is 100 times larger than n squared. At 12, it's 1,000 times larger. Like, none of this makes any sense. It's just driving me just completely insane.
This has to be AI generated. There's no way.
I assume it is.
Well, they wrote code to generate
did they?
This is not AI generated in the sense that someone came up with this idea and told AI to generate it. I am so positive that if you told AI, like, hey, generate the differences between these times,
it would have done a standard graph.
It would have been more accurate. It would have been this.
Yes.
Right here.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which this
I'm looking at that. I'm looking at it. And I'm like, but which one takes longer? I can't even tell because where is the ball moving across the
screen? Right.
I can't even tell.
Oh my gosh, sorry. I was just so frustrated.
But that's kind of the point, Tej, right? Yeah, like, so one of the important things about complexity is that it doesn't tell you how long something takes. You can have an O1 algorithm that takes a lot longer than an O(n) algorithm for some n.
This
right?
is true. Classic and, array versus set lookup when you're doing stuff.
This is just how it is. And so that's the point of understanding. Like, if you try to convey to somebody that O(n) is faster than O(n) log n or something like that, you're conveying incorrect information because it's not faster or slower. It scales worse, right? There's a difference between those things. And so you need, like, even showing anything that implies that there's a speed difference between them is wrong just right out of the gate, because complexity is not about telling you how fast something ran. And that's critical to understand. It's so critical that actually in shipping code, in deployment, sometimes you will use algorithms that have worse scaling complexity when you know what the N is, because the scaling complexity doesn't matter because the N is low and the constant's too high on the scaling version, right? on the lower complexity. So you can have times people deploy an N squared algorithm instead of an N log N algorithm. You can have people deploy an N log N algorithm instead of an O(n) algorithm, and so on and so forth. That will absolutely happen, not because the person didn't know what they're doing, but because that was actually the right choice for the scale of problem they were working on.
A quick classic example, quicksort, often for the last few elements, will switch to insertion sort because it's actually faster to not quicksort on a bunch of small items due to the stack invocation and recursion cost, comparatively to the N squared algorithm, worst or standard case, average case of insertion sort.
I didn't even know that.
Quicksort's N squared.
Quicksort worst case is N squared. Quicksort average case is N log N. And so often inside of those, also with merge sort, you'll break into an insertion sort at the very bottom because it is just better. And so there's a classic example where scaling actually doesn't, you know, is traded off in the middle just because of size.
Wow. I was thinking too, Prime, of like when we talked to Tiger Beetle a while ago, of how they like all of their like so many places in the code they have like some assert about the size of how big something can be because they're also like loading all of it ahead of time and others. But so it's like you just say, hey, I think that this thing should never get over 200 elements or 1,000 elements. Like, it's cool because then you can pick something that works really good where n is less than 1,000. And it's like it's really fast at that thing. And then later, if that invariant breaks, you find out because you have a debug failure or like some warning or something that happens in your system that can then you're like, oh, okay, cool. So now apparently we have big enough customers that 1,000 isn't always the case. Sometimes it's like 10 million for some reason or something. We have some pathological customer that does this. Then we got to go fix that separately, which I thought was really cool.
This is actually a popular thing that John Carmack does. John Carmack, if you don't know, does the exact same thing in Doom and a bunch of other places. He would assert like the world can't have more than 3,000 items. That's just a reality of life. We would make all of our decisions based off this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's also cases where you know that there's a limiting factor on the other end. Like, for example, if you're like, look, this thing is designed for 10 gigabit, you know, Ethernet uplinks. So there you go. Like, I know how much data is flowing through this thing, and it can't ever be more than that because we don't have, you know, and we will fundamentally redesign this part of the code if we switch to, you know, a higher bandwidth connection or something like that, right?
Right.
Or this screen, like, we know that we're shipping on this console that only supports 1080p, so that's how many pixels are on the screen. Like, we know that a particular region of the screen can only have this many pixels, so we're making decisions based on that. Like, so you can definitely have situations, too, where you even just know. You're just like, look, for the deployment scenario, we actually guarantee there is no physical way that it can have a different thing. And at that point, you're free to make all kinds of decisions based on N because you know what it is.
But okay, so then how do I know which one's faster? No, I'm just kidding.
So which one is faster? A lot of people, like, complexity is one of those things where it's like the, it's kind of a, I guess since we were talking about diagrams of and balls and all that, complexity theory is definitely one of those things that I feel like is a just the tip kind of thing in computer science, where it's like, do you need to know complexity theory? A lot of people ask this question, right? Like, do I need to know complexity theory to, like, be a programmer? You absolutely don't need to know complexity theory, because complexity theory is like, how do you prove something is NP hard or something? Like, actually knowing complexity theory, I don't know complexity theory. I don't. Yep. I'm not going to give you a dissertation on pee space or some like. Forget it. Right. It's not going to happen.
The bathroom.
But you do need to know. Yeah, you do need to know just the tip. You need to know like your basic like. Okay, how do algorithms scale with n roughly in terms of how much memory they use and how much like how many concrete operations, whatever that operation is, will they have to do? That's something everyone should know just for the basics, like the ones that were on this diagram, probably not exponential because almost nobody uses exponential except in situations where, so this may be getting ahead of my, out of my, over my skis a little bit, but I would say that in general, if you're in the realm of exponential time, so you're thinking of things that are like 2 to the n complexity or worse, at that point, you may start wanting to know more complexity. At that point, you're in the realm of hardcore algorithm design where you probably want to know more than just the basics because you're going to start needing to know things about heuristics, heuristic-based algorithms, randomized algorithms, things that are like not commonly thought about very much in workaday programming circles. So once you are doing something that's beyond n squared or n cubed and you're, out of polynomial time, at that point you may want to know more. But everything below that I'd say is a just the tip situation.
Casey, what happened if you have a salesman, okay, and he wants to start in Rapid City, South Dakota?
Okay, I'm listening.
Exactly what I was thinking of in my head when I said that, because like those kinds of problems require a deeper understanding of algorithm design and the ways that we attack problems that are sort of technically infeasible. Like theoretically, you can't really solve this problem efficiently, but we've come up with lots of ways to, maybe not get the best answer, but get a good enough answer that can be used for humanity to do its whatever it was trying to do. Can we prove that we will get the best answer every time? No, but we can get like close, right? Yeah. And that's, you have to kind of start to know that sort of thing, right?
By the way, just, I know we're getting weird, slightly off, but FedEx and UPS and USPS, they all have an actual NP problem, which of course is bin packing, because if you have X amount of boxes and you have Y amount of containers and you need to be able to most efficiently pack these boxes, especially along a route, now you also have like multiplexing Dijkstras along with bin packing. Very, very crazy. I mean, they actually have a really hard and interesting algorithm to solve.
I mean, even just basic things like what is going on, Prime? Oh my God!
That would literally break my teeth off my mouth if I did.
That's
that.
True.
That's true. That's a nice crust on that, Prime.
It was good. It was good. I just want to taste it. Now that the heat's gone.
If you just think about like your local school district, what the bus routes are and which order they go in. That already is like, there are companies who specialize in solving that problem because it you need heuristic salt. Like you can't, if you, even just the number of students in your district being 500 or whatever it is enough to start to make it be like, we can't guarantee you a perfect solution. Like, sorry, like that's just out of the bounds. So we have to do like things that, take into account that we have, that we don't have to get it perfect in order for it to be good enough and all these other sorts of things.
So. At my high school, Casey, they wrote that down on the whiteboard. They leave it overnight. See if anybody can figure it out. Any janitors walking by?
Right, any janitors walking by.
Yeah, wait a minute, I've seen this.
Yeah, so we, we always look, and I don't know, last time I looked at that sort of stuff, it was kind of generally expected that, look, a lot of these kind of problems, you can get very close to optimal solutions. They have these regions of their sort of solution space that are just extraordinarily hard. And so if the input data happens to fall in those areas, you are kind of screwed. If it falls outside of those areas, then it's okay. And you'll get, you'll typically get the solution you were looking for, right? So anyway, my point in all of that was just to say, if that's the kind of thing you're doing, you should know no more than me about complexity at that point, and you should know more than me about like how you go about solving those kind of problems with heuristic approaches, randomized approaches, things like that, because there's entire theory of randomized algorithms. It's very interesting, actually, but it's like I don't know it, and a lot of programmers don't know it because it doesn't come up that often.
Are you ready for part two? So can we say goodbye to our squiggles, our heartbeat diagram? We can all at least agree, heartbeat diagram terrible for complexity visualization.
Yeah, I mean, I think what this really is an open challenge to Ben Dickin. It was like, look.
True.
We can, like, STEM Explorer has bested you at every possible axis. Not only is the diagram even worse than the bouncing balls, but it also is literally not graphing anything even related to the subject, right? So I think that's why I just reposted this, and I think I said something like your move, Ben Dickin, because I feel like at this point he has been so thoroughly dethroned that like he needs to come back and hit hard here. Because
I agree.
His standard ball diagram is not gonna do it. Like he has been shown up. Like significantly,
and you know what? It's gonna be sad if he comes out with something and it's not good enough to get on the pod, Ben. Okay,
yep.
So Ben, if you're out there listening, we need something big from you. All right, the squad here, we're looking Q1. That's gonna be you have to deliver by the end of Q2, but we need it in Q1 at the very that's kind of what I'm targeting.
That's the world is watching, Ben Dickin.
Yeah,
the world is
locked.
They want to see your response to this. Because STEM Explorer came out of the gate here first time and just absolutely crushed it.
I'm having a Dax moment over here.
Yeah, you are. The one thing I will say about the ball diagram, whether you hate it or not, if the data was accurate, at least there was some level of like meaning you could kind of gather from it and go, oh, yeah, I can see this one's slower and that one's faster. By how much and all that, you couldn't really gather. This one, I can't gather any. There's actually no information here.
Why are the squiggles erasing on?
I was gonna try to find a moment to say that. It really bothers me that they end.
They're getting like, vacuumed up.
There's no budget. There's no budget for to keep them going.
I just really hate that they break at the end like that. Right? Like, I mean, there's because it does it with each one of them.
No.
As they get to the end, it like wigs out.
Oh no.
That's the I'm done mark. That's like I finished.
All right. We can move on. All right. Let me get back here just in case we want to cut this as a separate segment. I got to do like a better intro. Here we go. You know, on the stand-up, we like to come together and discuss some things that very important people say that make everybody else super upset. And this is just one of those moments where what I've just read somehow is the most infuriating complisalt I've ever received, and I'm sure many people have ever received in their lifetime. And of course, I'm talking about Mr. Sammy Jippity Altman saying, I have so much gratitude to people who wrote extremely complex software character by character. It already feels difficult to remember how much effort it really took. Thank you for getting us to this point. Okay, so
Sam, pour one up for the boys.
Pack it up, we are done. But I really do love this idea that there is no more complex software, because hidden in this statement is that software complexity is now officially over.
Solved.
It's actually solved.
That's why Claude Code doesn't flicker anymore, right?
This is why GTA 6 supposedly will release this year. Like, there is
rumors
that it's coming. Yeah, that it's
coming
out.
Way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like almost this is similar. These two topics feel very related to me, right? Because the previous one was like, let's have a competition to see who can post the worst graph, right? Was like kind of what that was, right? And this, it's like, it seems like that AI people are doing like, let's have a competition to see who like people will dislike the most, right? Like how do I become someone that literally no one likes at all? And it's worth noting that it's like, including your customers, like they don't even want to be liked by the people who are using their software, or they don't know that, like, I mean, unless they're really this unaware that they don't see how insulting that is to even people who are actively using their software currently. It's crazy. It boggles. Like, I don't even know if I have a comment on that. I don't know what to say about this. It's like, it's shocking.
I've got a hypothesis, Casey, which is that, you know, they sort of feel like they already won. And you know how when you beat a video game, you can play it back? on like expert mode, or like I've been playing Slay the Spire 2, climbing my ascension ranks.
Okay.
Right. And each time it adds like more difficulty, right? Like start with a curse, you don't heal all the way, etc. I feel like this is kind of like, okay, well, we already made like $1 trillion. Can we do it now if nobody likes us? Right.
So it's like, right.
So they're heaping those things on. They're like, I'm gonna win biggest company in the world on Ascension 20. Open Got AI it. Edition. I think that's probably what...
So you think at the beginning, like Sam Altman, you know, for this round of starting a company, it popped up those little, like, pick which card you want
right.
to start
with. Right, it was a roguelike.
Right?
Yes.
And one of them was, get a lot of money from people, but nobody likes you. And yep. and he picked, like, that was the modifier that he chose to play the whole thing on.
Exactly.
Fair
yes.
enough.
Right. Yeah. And then, like, round one was, like, it had three options. It was, like, start a nonprofit to save the world with AI.
Yes.
But then, like, later, yes. it was, like, okay, yeah. here's a few forks in the road. One was, yeah. like, continue the nonprofit. Everyone likes yeah. you, trying to make something for the yeah. benefit of humanity. Yeah. Option two was make a ton of money.
yeah.
Dude, when I read this tweet, I had, like, a visualization in my head as, like, as I was reading it, as him, like, saying this, but he was escorting, like, some old person off the stage. Like, kind of just giving them this backhand comment and then just kicking them off the stage. And then it was like, here's the real show kind of thing. Like, because this is the stuff I tweeted this too, but this is like the exact, well, at least my emotional response was, this is a message of like when you lay somebody off. Like, thank you for all your hard work at the company.
He LinkedIn posted it, bro.
Dude, like, legit. And I was just like, man, this, like, when you're typing these things, if he is the one typing these things, like, does he just hit send? Like, that's a good tweet. Like, I don't they're gonna love that one. Like, how, like, what is that scene look like? I would love to just see like surveillance of him posting this. And
I think
what
you're
like
missing
after.
Is that he's, I think he and like Zuckerberg and a few of these people fall into what is known as the lizard category. And so okay. I genuinely believe that he was just like, you know what? There was a lot of people who I've taken all of their work from and am making the biggest company in the universe ever. I need to thank those people. I'm going to thank them right now. Here we go, boys. And like got his team together. Like, okay, hold on. Oh, man, it was so complex. Step by step. Oh, my gosh. Hand-coded.
Character.
But, dude, yeah. it's like, honestly, it's hard to even remember how hard that was.
Does he even know how hard? Like, has he ever shipped anything that was like
looped.
A piece of...
Looped.
What is looped?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Oh. Pause. I'll do a brown bag lunch on this in a little bit.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
so I'll
right.
bring
did,
the,
you
all,
did brown bag right. world coin, so I do feel like you have to brown bag world
right.
world
I'll brown
looped.
Bag looped for you later, Casey.
Okay.
We'll bring you up to speed on that, make sure everyone brings their own lunch, etc. Lunch will not be provided. Just want to make that clear.
Yeah.
But I will be providing a presentation for that. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I don't know. This is just really bizarre to me, and it doesn't So I think I actually talked about Dimitri. I talked to Dimitri about something like this at one point. He was obviously on the podcast last week talking about AI stuff. And the way he said it, I don't want to misrepresent him here, but I asked him this question. I was like, given that AI companies will face like a bunch of lawsuits, regulatory hurdles, things like this, like they will run into the bureaucratic elements of society. And they will have to navigate those, right? And I'll point out, they also will have to navigate things that are worse than that. So, you know, I don't want to say anything that will get us marked badly on YouTube, but let's just say that, like, a data center is a pretty easy target for civil unrest. I'll put it that way, right?
True.
So yeah. There's a lot of things that you want, if you are really serious about this, where you're like, I want to make a company that does this AI stuff and I want to make sure that it succeeds and does well. There's a lot of things you would care about with respect to public opinion, and you would never say any of the things that Sam Altman says, ever, right? If you were Sam Altman and you had any self-awareness, you would not appear in public. You would have somebody else who was your person who appears in public, and it would never be you. That's what you would do. Right? Because nobody likes him And when he opens his mouth, he says things that make people very angry. In terms of the general public, right? Not talking about programmers or whatever. We're talking about, like, the general public, when they hear from Sam Altman, they really don't like it. He recently just had another one where he talked about how if you compare the cost of training an AI to how much a human consumes, the AI is actually better. Like, no one should ever say, like, if you care about this as actually getting this thing adopted, you would never say anything like that, right?
Yes.
Because you should have someone out there who understands how actual humans perceive things, right? Which is not Sam Altman.
That's that lizard thing I was telling you about.
It's the lizard thing. So you're right about same as Zuckerberg. They have fundamentally no idea what a human is like, even though they've seen them before. They just aren't sure what they do, right? They're like, huh? And so to me, I was like, why is that? Like, how does no one else step in and go, like, because, I mean, you know, when you're looking at a company like OpenAI with these investors putting billions of dollars in it, someone would, in theory, come along and be like, Sam, thanks for all your hard work. You're not going to be the – they'd Palmer Lucky him like they did at Facebook, right? They're like, you don't get to talk to the public anymore. We're replacing – like, that kind of thing happens all the time for reasons that are strictly about appearances or public, you know, perception.
What is that reference? I don't know the Palmer Lucky thing at
Palmer
Facebook.
Lucky, well, you know, again, trying not to get into politics too much. Palmer Lucky was on the politically wrong side of an issue early on when his company Oculus was acquired by Facebook, now Meta. They weren't obviously Meta at the time because they were just acquiring Oculus. And he was basically forced out of a leadership position there. And he ended up leaving the company. And that was purely
And he was to be clear, wonder kid. Front of magazines, super.
He was
previous.
On the cover of Time Magazine.
Everywhere. Like, yeah. I do remember him being
the
everywhere.
The father of VR! Everything. Yeah. It wasn't just like, oh, like some random guy got fired. Like, he was the wonder kid for them.
Yeah. He was like Jimmy Neutron is like my expectation of him. He was actually a very talented analogy. Individual that was like way out there when it comes to talent and building stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Well, whatever you think about him, he got forced out.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Like no one disagrees with that, I don't think. That's not a controversial thing to say. Like, he did not voluntarily decide to leave Facebook and their VR division because he just wasn't feeling it that day. He got he was forced to leave the division that he was, you know, that he had, that was his entire thing he wanted to do. Like, this was a thing that he started in his bedroom doing, right? He wanted to see if you could use phone displays and stuff like that to produce a real VR headset. Now was the technology ready, right? And here he was getting the opportunity to do that, and he got forced out for political reasons. So something as simple as that, you can force someone out. They're not forcing Sam Altman out,
right?
Nobody's telling Dario to keep his mouth closed, right?
Like, that's I wish
not
they
happening.
Would.
And so...
I don't know,
and
those
my question
articles
was,
are pretty funny these days.
My question was, why? This is what I was asking. I asked him, I was like, why? Like, what's going on there? Because surely the investors realize that it's better for this, right? And what he said was possibly somewhat convincing, actually. What he said was, they have two choices, is what he said to me. One is they garner public support. Or the other is they garner investor support, and they went with investor support. And what he meant by that was, if you tell a story about how AI is just going to be beneficial for everybody and that people won't be losing their jobs and that it will just be like, oh, it'll be easier to get your work done or whatever it is, whatever the publicly – we're just empowering artists, we're not taking their jobs, that can't raise the level of investment – that you can from private investors if you tell them you're putting everyone out of work. So he said they had two choices. One was to go and say that we're putting everyone out of work and we're basically going to be a pariah because everyone's going to pay us and no one's going to pay anyone else and raise their $1 trillion. Or they could actually say something positive, but they wouldn't be able to raise that kind of money because it doesn't sound like you're replacing the entire industry with one computer. And they chose the one that gets them the investment. And I was like, okay, that's a pretty reasonable way to say that. That could very well be the case.
That makes a lot of sense.
So like,
I didn't even think about it that way at all.
So you, this is why it's great to talk to Dimitri, right? It's why I'm doing that podcast is because he has a lot of really interesting things to say, and he knows
what
these
podcast.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. He knows those people. Like, he's interacted with a lot of these people personally. Right. He knows a lot of them in that field, and so he has, like, some perspective on why they do what they do. And it's like, yeah, so they could replace Sam Altman with somebody who was much more appealing to the public, and maybe they will after they secure enough trillions of dollars. Then you're like, okay, thanks, Sam, right? Mm-hmm. Now let's put a nice face on this thing to try.
Then
and
they
like...
hire Matthew McConaughey.
Exactly.
That's who I would hire.
Well.
Yeah.
I like DJ.
Yeah, it's all right.
Matthew McConaughey, right. That's the solution to this thing.
I'm telling you. You guys seen him in the Lincoln commercials? I mean, he seems like a guy who you would trust.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that makes sense to me.
I like Billy Bob Thornton. I trust him.
Oh,
it could,
okay.
He could be like, it could be like, I don't stress. The bathroom guy could be like, I don't stress about it. I just ask ChatGPT.
That's what I'm saying. You'd be
it's
like,
all
he's
right.
so right, yeah. bro. He's yeah. so right. He's all so right. right.
Just ask ChatGPT.
Okay, well, when Matthew McConaughey gets hired by OpenAI, you guys are gonna eat your words right here, trash. Okay.
I mean, I love Matthew McConaughey too, man.
It's Matthew McConAI.
Yes, he's gonna legally change his name,
Will I Am did right to the dots.
Like, oh no,
I am. Great, Casey, nice pull,
deep
wow.
pull, right?
Yeah.
Remember That's when he good. Made a smartwatch? No mm-hmm. one does. I do.
Shakira, these chips don't lie. Come on, that would be.
I can't think of anything.
Campaign. That would be a crazy ad campaign.
Sitting here right now, I'm actually slightly shocked that Will.i.am hasn't announced an AI company. Maybe he has and just didn't make it up. But that would be so something he would do, right?
It's Black Eyed Peas, right?
Originally, yes. But then he had his solo career.
I was trying to make sure I'm thinking of the same person.
Yeah.
I have no idea who that is, to tell you the truth.
Okay, there I was need a great... to make a...
Prime, there's an era that you probably missed out on because, you know, maybe you're not quite as old as I am. But there was an era where companies, especially internet companies, but not exclusively, like companies like Intel, for example, had sort of brand ambassador positions. And these were people who were like enthusiastic about technology, but didn't really have all that much to do with it. Will.i.am was one. Shingy. Does anyone remember Shingy?
That sounds
familiar.
Are you
trying to say Chingy?
Nope. Shingy.
Okay.
He was an experimental artist who was like a brand ambassador for, I can't even remember which company, but a major company like Hewlett Packard. I don't remember who it was. But like, and they would produce these videos that were just like, you know, them talking about how cool technology is, but non-specifically. This was a whole thing that happened. And there's more. I'm not remembering the world. There's several other celebrities who were like in that vein. And you're just like, what is going on? But that was just, it was cool for a while in like the early 2000s to have like this pseudo, like it's usually B-list. Like it's not, you know. I'm not trying to think of who the A-list stars are. It's not Jennifer Lawrence, who is right. It's not A-list celebrity, someone who's like launching a major motion picture. It's just below, like B-tier, somebody
nice.
That people have heard of, but it's not,
like
you know.
Prime, yeah. like Prime.
Dude, that'd be so good. Dude, I'd definitely do that, dude. Hewlett Packard. I'd be like, look at this printer.
I got all these inks.
I got all the inks, babe.
I got all these inks.
Speaking
name
of
a color. Name a Prime. Color right now. I got it.
Prime, can I tell a story about what happened on the call for Nothing But Net?
Sure. I don't even know what the story is, but you could.
What does remind me of you saying Hewlett Packard and like we all call it HP and you'd like not knowing acronyms. So we're doing an event next week with Sentry at the Chase Center, which is where Golden State Warriors play. We have to go to a game afterwards. We're going to do something very fun. It's going to be a surprise, actually. We can't tell you what our actual thing is. I'll tell you, Casey, afterwards and trash.
Ooh,
but,
secret details. Sorry,
but,
chat. You're not cool enough to know this. Only I get to know.
Yes.
No, and me. And
yeah,
me.
Or they have to come in person.
Trash, you might get kicked out.
Yeah.
After so all the like, snacks he's provided.
We're like 15 minutes into the call with them, and there's someone from Golden State on the call. Sentry's on the call. Me and Prime are on the call. They've said things like, you know, the GSW staff will do this, or like, you know, go through GSW this, blah, blah. They've said the the acronym GSW about 35 times at least, and we're 15 minutes into the call, and finally Prime goes, "So, what is GSW?"
Because I'm like, get shit one. Like, I kept saying in my head, get shit one. I had no idea.
Yeah, is that like graphics software or?
Yeah, State Warriors.
I had no idea you guys were doing it there. That's crazy.
Oh my goodness. And we're on the call. Like, we've been talking about the Warriors. We've been talking. It's not like we were surprised about what NBA team is at the place.
Golden State. What is the Golden State? New Jersey? What is the Golden State? I don't know that acronym. What's Golden State?
Golden State. It's the San Francisco team. Golden State Warriors.
God.
Steph Curry.
Okay.
Golden State. That's even better.
I don't know basketball at all.
That's fine.
Oh, I missed. Oh, crap. I missed my chance again. I was supposed to say something like, I don't follow hockey. I missed an obvious setup.
Casey,
damn it.
I thought you were going to say something like, I never watch moving balls on the screen. I hate that crap.
Yeah, exactly. Balls bouncing.
It
bouncing
is a proven
balls.
Fact
bouncing
that people cannot comprehend speed.
Yeah. All right, so Golden State Warriors is the San Francisco basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Possibly the greatest player ever.
Yes.
Possibly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe.
All right, so I do want to, in my own personal defense, I would like to say that
we're ending the podcast.
It is one of my strengths that I am willing to ask any question.
That part was good. I was proud of you. I was proud of you that you asked, even though it was like awkwardly late into the call. It was just
I thought I could just pick it up. Honestly, I was like, oh, they used it once. I'll probably get it the second time. They used it the second time. I'm like, I really don't understand it from this context. Here we go.
It just cracked me up because it was like, it happened to be, if it was just Sentry and not someone from Golden State Warriors, I wouldn't have even laughed or thought it was that funny. But it was just because we had someone from the org there.
That's like a record scratch moment.
It was.
They didn't care. They thought it was funny.
Man, it's better than me not knowing New Jersey, I don't think anyone from San Francisco wants to be told they live in New Jersey. Like,
yeah, they're offended by that for sure.
Right? It's like
it's
where
definitely
are you
not
guys,
a Golden
where
State.
Is this team from? It's like New Jersey or something.
Yes.
It's like no, it's San Francisco. It's like oh well, slightly that dirtier,
would hurt their
but still okay.
Big time.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's something I would like to share with everyone. Since you brought up Hewlett Packard,
great.
I just want to underscore for all the young people out there, which is like everyone in chat. A lot of people don't remember because they were like in diapers at this time. I just want to point this out. Just to underscore how much this industry changes in a relatively short period of time. If you were to say today, I've got a brand new CPU, brand new chip, coming, get hyped, everyone. I've got a brand new chip coming from Hewlett Packard. Literally nobody would be like, oh, wow, like, I can't wait to see. Or most people would just be like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, they're like Dell or something. They're just, you know, they make like printers or monitors. I don't even know what they make. Doesn't matter, right? Hewlett Packard was actually the partner, them and Intel, were the two people who were supposed to have designed the chips that you would be using today. When x86 was going to move from 32-bit to 64-bit, they announced that the way that would happen was a thing called Project Itanium. And the Itanium was architected by Hewlett Packard and Intel as a joint venture. They were the people, because Hewlett Packard was like a big name in computing at that time.
Wow.
Right?
I remember HP.
Yeah. And the entire thing fell apart and did not end up producing chips that anyone wanted, because the only reason people are on x86 is for backwards compatibility. So Itanium was not at all what they had in mind. And so that was like the last there was of Hewlett Packard being like a big player. Like if that had happened, they would be a company you'd be thinking of today as like major CPU player potentially, right? But as it is now, they're just completely forgotten. Like no one cares about. Sorry, HP. I'm sorry.
HP, we can turn this image around. If you would hire a B-list celebrity, I don't know who.
Sam Altman is available.
I got an HP printer right behind me.
I was thinking, if HP wants to get into the chip game, they just start making new snacks and send them to trash.
Yep.
That'll get them on the map.
I use my HP printer every day.
I just had a vision of like trash going to Hot Chips, like Trash going to Hot Chips 2027, and being like, "There's no snacks here at all. This is the worst conference ever. This is terrible."
You guys don't know shit. Snacks at every conference is always bad. I'm just gonna say that now.
Yeah, that's true.
You should go to Hot Chips, and you should get a booth.
Yeah.
And you should be giving out the best chips out there.
Dude, you want a stand-up booth
where we just hand out snacks?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dreams. Goes hard.
Tired silicon chips, wired corn chips. That's what we're talking about here, guys.
There we go. Well, popcorn chips now or something. Well, I don't know what trash
Popcorners.
Is
Popcorners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Yum Earths.
Well, at the end of the day, this tweet sucked. I personally think, Casey.
Yeah.
The reason why he tweets this stuff is the same reason why Elon Musk tweets stuff and the same reason why Trump tweets stuff.
Okay.
And all those people do, which
is... What is it?
That nobody can tell them no. And they just are like, this is who I am. And they just go out there and whatever comes to their mind is what's going out on the internet. And that's just that. And you just get stream of consciousness, whether you love it or hate it. That's what you're getting, baby.
I mean, it could be. It could be. I don't know. I mean, I have to think that most people are trying to, when they're communicating to the public, they're trying to communicate in a way that gets the reaction that they wanted, usually, right? Like, even if that reaction is I was trying to piss someone off.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe they're not. Like, maybe Sam Altman really just doesn't have any idea, like, or doesn't think about the fact that people will react to things.
I feel like for a lot of people, that tweet played well.
I mean, for people in the AI sphere, by the numbers, 33,000 likes.
But isn't that just kind of generally what tweets from Sam Altman get?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
33,000 is a lot, but we can do some sleuthing.
2,000.
I think for people,
6,000, 11.
People in AI. Particularly, let's say
so that is somewhat high.
Yeah,
it's disproportionately very high compared to all of these.
Well, 12K, that one I guess was popular. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, 10K.
I'm saying people who come into
34K,
they're doing their first coding thing ever. They're doing other stuff. They're not software developers, right? Like they don't have any respect like for the craft or like who came before, or, you know, in the sense of like what and why should they, right? Like that doesn't make any sense. That would be weird for us to just be like, yeah, you guys should really know who John Carmack is and why he was awesome at programming and like all of this stuff and what it's like. They don't, it's just like, it's cool that
it's hard. That's it.
Also, it's cool that I could talk to my computer and it can make something, even if it's bad. That's dope, right? So, like, okay, we separate out the fact that, like, I don't necessarily like maybe how they got some of it or some of the people or the companies or their legislation or whatever. But, like, it's sick that I can talk to the computer and be like, make it purple. Make it in a purple theme. No mistakes. And changes the website to purple. And then I'm like, rounded corners. And it makes rounded corners. That is
put
so
it
cool.
in a box and then
put
another box.
In a box, in a box, in a box. I want every div to have a border and 3 pixels of spacing. So I know AI made that this web page. Okay.
That's marquee tab.
Marquee tab. So that part, you know, like that part is cool. I feel like for people who aren't like, hey, Sam, you're like screwing. Maybe like there's some aspects where we're moving too fast. You're screwing over the profession. You guys are like putting out a lot of slop. You're giving people the wrong expectations. Whatever. If you don't have those like preconceived notions for it, that is like a nice tweet saying like, hey guys, thanks for helping us get here, like we're excited for the future. I got, you know, like for people who have a different background, I feel like that's how you would take it. If
I mean it could be just a case of like addressing a specific audience at the expense of another audience and just being fine with that, right?
I mean we're
definitely in the minority.
Yeah, right. There's way less people that have written code before AI than that will make some code artifact after AI exists. Like, that's probably already true, just because, like, people try random stuff on the websites. But, yeah.
Right. I mean, because it could just kind of spit out code, so you would think, right? Yeah.
Looks like that's the stand-up. Any blockers?
Your code that I look at every day.
True, that's trash for real life. Yeah, trash.
How much of my code do you actually run into?
I'm actually, like, deep in your code right now.
Wait, which one?
I'm doing like TTR stuff right now.
Oh, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign.
I'm going to rewrite it all.
Yeah, go for it. Please.
Not even kidding.
I didn't design the curd one. The TTR concept was mine. How it works and loads, like say for evolution and for MDP versus gallery
leaking
and all
Netflix
that.
Secrets right now.
That is all. That was a different person. I won't say his name, but that was a different person. Good luck,
Casey. Any blockers?
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
Kind of seems like you got to talk about it. You got something on your chest. You
no,
need to
it's
get
the bad one.
Yeah, let's get in the stew.
I think I've said on this podcast before. Literally, I think I said it on this podcast, but I don't know. Maybe it was somewhere else. But I have said that the one time where I can relate to people who use AI is whenever I have to interact with like a web stack of some kind that like, right. Cause
no,
I'm just
true.
Like, yeah, I can totally understand why you just want to type in something like figure out like, you know, whatever this random BS is. That's like 50,000 text files of random config stuff, you know, half of which is ad hoc. And, so I currently, I have to move a server from like an old server that was running like this little, I wrote this little C program that just does our mailing list management for us, but it has to hook up to a web server somewhere. And like it was on Apache and now it has to be on NGINX for some reason. And they don't support CGI bin. They only support fast CGI. So now I have to just go like relink the program with like a fast CGI library. But of course, I've never looked at the fast CGI library before. So like, I don't love having code ship that I haven't looked at and all this. Like, so that is currently what I get to do later this week for no reason. This is all useless work, right? That's why I say like I always relate to people who like to use AI and that, because I'm just like, this is useless. There's no point to any of this. It doesn't accomplish anything. It's literally just busy work to move something from one protocol to another with no value add other than just that's what happens to be occurring on these servers, right?
Sucks. I think you also said phrases such as CGI bin that most people will have no idea what you're saying and the other people will shudder a little bit.
Yeah, so in the old days, like wicked old days, that was just how you got, if you have a web server running and you wanted it to interface with like a C program that you'd compiled, so you wanted to extend the behavior of the web server, there was this protocol for like, okay, here is how we will invoke some executable on the drive and we'll set environment variables to let it know what, you know, what the user had set up in the form that they were submitting to the CGI bin or whatever it was that you were doing, right? And there's a lot of reasons why you wouldn't want to do that in like a serious scenario. The biggest one being that you're actually having to execute the, you have to run the executable every time, right? So, you know, in other words, there's a process that has to be started and so on. So if you were thinking about trying to do something high bandwidth, you wouldn't want to do this. And so the way that they, you know, solved that problem for things that wanted to look like this is they created a thing called, you know, fast CGI, which was just like, oh, now we just run something and we'll just communicate with it by using like shared memory or something like this, right? You know, we can, or packet passing or whatever, you know, we'll just have some way that we'll solve this problem so that the process stays running. And so that's how you would do it today if you have some program that's like an external program, but it's not as convenient because it's not really external anymore, right? It doesn't, you now have to have that protocol baked in.
It just sounds like a web server, but worse. It's just like, hey, here's a web server, but unique. You don't even get HTTP. You just get like,
well, it's another way to look at it would be, hey, you've got the, you know, you want someone else to handle HTTPS for you because you don't want to re-implement TLS. And you don't want to implement an ASN1 parser, and you don't want to do that stuff, right? Which is very understandable, because that's a huge pain in the butt. And it's constantly changing, too. They're like, oh, you know, like, if you had done that back with TLS 1.1, and then they came out with 1.2 and 1.3, like, now you're running back and upgrading your software to, like, the new Cypher suites and all this other crap, right? So it's, like, it's a maintenance headache, too. So if you just wanted someone like NGINX to do that for you, but you would like to write the part of the code that does the rest, fast CGI is kind of a nice way to do it. You just go like, all right, I, you know, but you could also do a plugin you know, NGINX has a plugin architecture. You could use that. I don't know. I don't care about any of this stuff. I'm just saying how it is.
He's just blocked by it.
He's just blocked.
I just don't
want to
do
it.
I just don't like this kind of thing. It's annoying.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
TJ, any blockers?
Yeah. About 6 months ago, BeganBot promised me a funny edit of a video where there's a song where they interspersed goats screaming inside of a Taylor Swift song. And I really, my wife asked for that, but with a pan flute instead, because that's Began's signature song for, or signature sound for his Suno songs. And I'm still waiting for it. I've been blocked on it literally for 6 months. My wife regularly asks me about it. And every time I'm on the phone with Began, she asks, and he always says, he's going to get that to me soon, tomorrow, today. I don't know. He said, but so I'm blocked on that. So thanks.
If you're having trouble with your wife, Tej, I do think Trash has a pretty good app he's been working on that should probably help with that.
It will resolve.
I don't know.
It will solve all marital problems.
Okay. Thanks, Trash.
Because there won't be a marital to be worried about.
Right. No more problems of the marital variety.
I want Prime, last week when I was at the office, I was like going through, like, somehow I end up on one of your old PRs, and it was you and Benmo. And it was like some formatting thing. And you're like, sorry, it's like, you know, Vim things. You wouldn't get it. And it, it just made me like crack up in the office just by myself. I was like, that sounds exactly like Prime. Jesus.
Hey guys, if you work at Netflix and you see Trash, make sure you say hello. He loves it.
He does love it. All right. Also, hey, I have some blockers.
I know. I was going to ask Prime what's your blockers.
Prime has blockers.
Yeah. My blocker is that Casey needs to say NGINX correctly. Or I'm going to lose my mind for the rest of the day.
No, I'm not going to do it. NGINX. I'm not going to say NGINX.
I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Nix. That's what people are always talking about.
I say Nix.
NGINX.
You say,
I'm not saying
NGINX.
It doesn't look like that to me.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
I'd be like NGINX is like what I would actually say if I was to try and say it. It doesn't look like
NGINX. You're saying every letter, huh? NGINX.
Yeah, NGINX.
I guess it's not that terrible to say NGINX.
Right, it sounds more sophisticated. Like if you say NGINX, it sounds like you're talking about some kind of like municipal telephonic, like telephone exchange or something like this, right? Like it's like, yeah, NGINX, like they service.
I call
all
it
the
N3X.
Greater New England area's telephone service, right?
Mine's N3X. That's what I like to call it. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's that. That's the stand-up. Everybody get the hell out of here. Get to work, okay?
Oh, my goodness. We got to get to work. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Boot up the day. Vibe coding. Errors on my screen. Terminal coffee.